May God's grace, His peace, His great mercy be yours in Christ Jesus. Amen. Our text is the Gospel from John chapter 15. Please pray with me. Lord, we pray always that you would open our ears to hear your word as it's proclaimed, and open our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit that we may believe your word this day. Be with us now. Teach us and guide us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Who would agree that America has a problem with meanness? Meanness is a problem in America. People are just too mean. You guys, a little lower percentage. A survey done among Americans not too long ago, 89% of people said that America has a problem with meanness. Now, who's to blame for the place being so mean? 73% blame the politicians. Who agrees with that? All right, yeah, it's their fault. They bring meanness into our culture. 67% blame music, all that bad stuff the kids listen to. Who would agree? It's that bad music, that rap music and all that stuff I never listened to. That's to blame. How many kids agree? The kids don't agree, huh? All right. 52% blame talk radio. Rush Limbaugh, he's to blame for the meanness. I don't see many hands up. Y'all like Rush Limbaugh, huh? He's not to blame. Well, then people are asked, are you mean? Are you to blame? And guess what percentage of people said they are mean and they are to blame for the meanness in America? 1%. Everybody else is mean, but not me. Well, we would agree, and I pray, say as Christians today, that there is meanness in America, in the world, sin, hatred, gossip, envy, jealousy, backbiting. It's in the church, it's in America, it's in the world, and it's not just everybody else's fault, it's my fault too. And so how we need to focus on our gospel lesson today, which isn't about the meanness and evil of the world, but about the love of God. And that's the cure for a mean heart and a mean world. It is the great love of God for us in Christ Jesus. Jesus says the incredible, wonderful words, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And so today we again meditate for a while on the love of God. I want to talk about three types of love that all flow from God. These all come from God. There's a great love, we might say, a greater love, and then the greatest love. Let's talk about love today. First of all, a great love. How would you define a great love? Well, I would define a great love this way. Great love is when you lay down your belongings and possessions for your friends. If greater love, we're coming to that, is to lay down your life for your friends, then a great love, to take a step backward, might be to lay down your belongings and possessions for your friends. Not quite your life, but everything God's entrusted you with. That might be great love. This means that if your friend needs food, give him food. We did that yesterday. We served a rescue mission. It's part of great love as we do it because God loves us in such a great way. If your friend needs clothes, give him clothes. Your friend needs shelter, provide shelter. Your friend needs money, provide a little money. Your friend needs your listening ear, give him your listening ear. Your friend needs some encouragement, give them encouragement. Give them your time, your talents, your treasures, all that God's given to you. Share generously, willingly, because God has loved you so much. That's great love. Someone said this about love. Must have been a high school kid in love. Love is the ticklish sensation around the heart that can't be scratched. Must be some high school kid, huh, Pat? Love is the ticklish sensation around the heart that can't be scratched. That's the world's idea of love, some sensation of the heart. That's not really biblical love. Love in the Bible is not a sensation of the heart, it's action of the hand. It's action of the mouth, of the ears, of the feet, of your life, sharing and giving to other people, no matter how your heart really feels about it sometimes. You still do it because God calls you to do it. Action. Great love is very practical. Meet a need. Do for others. We have great examples of this in the Bible. The Good Samaritan is an example of great love. He saw the guy beaten up on the roadside. Didn't just pass by, but he took the time, made the effort to bandage him up, carry him to the inn, pay for the inn. Hey, that's great love, meeting his need. Jesus commends that, gives us that parable. Think of the boy who gave the 2 fish and 5 loaves when Jesus fed the 5,000. That's called great love. He gave what he had. He had 2 fish, 5 loaves. Here it is. I share with other people. Great love. Good example for us. Think of the widow who gave her mite. LWML is based on that. Give of what you have. Give all you have. Share generously of what God has entrusted to you. Time, talents, treasures. God is the greatest example. God lays down his possessions and belongings for his friends. God gave us the world freely. Food. Anybody here nervous they're not going to get fed today? Water. Shelter. House. Home. Education. Our families. Our government. All God laying down his belongings, his possessions for his friends, the world. We might call that great love. But there's more. There is a greater love. As Jesus says in the text, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Great love is great, as we're moved by God to give our possessions, our belongings, but there's something greater, to lay down your life for your friends. Who's Jesus talking about here? Well, we would say certainly he's talking about himself. He's the one who lays down his life for his friends at the cross, the disciples and all his friends. But I don't really think that Jesus is talking so much about himself here. We got point number 3 coming up. Jesus does something more than simply lay down his life for his friends, as we're going to learn here in a moment. He does do that. He's talking about himself, but maybe he's also talking to the disciples and to us Christians. We are to have a greater love than just a great love. We are called to do more than just lay down our possessions and our belongings for other people. We do that. We have an offering coming up today, right? We do that. It's good. But we are called to lay down our life for our friends and for our ultimate friend, who is Jesus. The context here that Christ is talking about is obeying his commandments. If you love me, you'll obey me. That's bottom line. You love me, you'll do what I say, you'll obey me. And he's saying, I have loved you so much, I'm going to lay down my life for you. You're my friends. And if you really love me, you will do the same. When the going gets tough and there's suffering, there's persecution, you're drugged before leaders and governors and kings, and you're threatened with death, you're not going to deny me. You're not going to run away afraid and say, see you later, Jesus, it's getting too hard now. You will stay in there. You stick in there. You persevere to the faith, and you will shed your very blood for me. That's the greater love that he seeks as he gives it to us. And humanly speaking, on this earth, there's no greater love, as he says. Now we're getting to a greater love yet in point 3. So the greater love is martyrdom. It is to die for your friend Jesus and for your fellow church members. It's to die. You give everything more so than belongings and possessions. And so we think of John the Baptist, who laid down his life for his friend Jesus and was beheaded. We think of Peter, who's in the first audience here, crucified upside down. He laid down his life for his friend Jesus. Andrew, Peter's brother, who also was crucified for his friend Jesus. We might think of Bartholomew, who was skinned alive and burned for his friend Jesus. We might think of Stephen, who was stoned for his friend Jesus. Think of Paul, who comes later, who was beheaded for his friend Jesus, who laid down his life for his friend Jesus. And the list goes on and on and on. Martyrdom. Will you die for him? When the going gets tough, you don't run. You get tough and you persevere and you fight the good fight of faith and you witness to your Lord and you'll shed your very blood for him. That's the love that he expects, because that's the love he gives to us and so much more. Oh, that's just early church stuff, Pastor. That doesn't apply. Well, do you know how many martyrs there were in the year 2008? How many Christian martyrs there were? We don't know the exact number. It's hard to count that, obviously. But do you have a guess in the year 2008 how many people died for their Christian faith in this world? Not here in America. We don't die for our faith, most of us. We have the freedom to worship, which is a wonderful blessing. But our problem is we get lazy and apathetic and who cares, ho-hum. 5,000 die for their faith across the world? 10,000 maybe? Well, missionaries guess, this is a guess, but missionaries in the field guess that 100,000 to 200,000 Christians last year were murdered for their faith. Middle Eastern countries, we don't hear about that on CNN. They don't report that, do they? Africa, communist countries, Middle Eastern countries as mentioned, people murdered for their faith. How we pray for them, pray for their families. When we are confirmed and we come before here and we kneel, and as the kids did this past Palm Sunday, a beautiful day, and we kneel, we say that we'll be a martyr for Jesus. You know, we've all said that in our confirmation vow. You're confirmed, you said that, you promised that. Part of the confirmation vow, I will suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from this confession of faith in Christ. I'll die for this faith. I know it's a happy day. We take pictures. We go out to eat afterwards or whatever. You realize what you just confessed, kid? You'll suffer everything, even death, and fall away from this. When the going gets tough, you're not going to run and flee and go with the world. You will die for this God-man, Jesus, who died for you. And dear friends, that's why when the trial comes up, we lay our hands on their head and we pray, receive the Holy Spirit. The kid already has the Holy Spirit, but give the fullness of the Spirit that you might keep that vow. Because you just made a vow to die for Christ. Spirit, fill this child. Give him faith. Give him strength that he would die for Christ. Sadly, after confirmation, sometimes you don't see a kid for a while. Wonder what happened. How many in your confirmation class still go to church? I figure out of my 20, 25 confirmands, maybe about 5. There's great love, there's greater love, but then there is the greatest love. And the greatest love is to lay down your life and all your belongings for your enemies. And that's what Christ will do at the cross. He does lay down his life for his friends, the disciples. He does more than that. He lays down his life for his enemies, for Caiaphas, for Judas, and all those that persecuted him, Pontius Pilate, all the Pharisees that murdered him, and all those that rejected him. So he laid down his life for them too, to save them and redeem them, to make them his friends, and gives them all that he has. He signs over his will to his enemies. Eternal life, paradise, glory. If only you believe in me and be baptized, it's all yours, all that I own. Now that's great, great, the greatest love. And that's found in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. John 3:16, for God so loved his friends that he gave his only begotten son. Is that what it says? For God so loved the world. And that's the entire world, the ungodly, the evil, all of us that sin. That are rebellious. Romans 5 says it very, very well, this love. You see, at just the right time, while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, although for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. We just talked about that. For a good person, for your friend, you might die for him. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, I might paraphrase, while we were still enemies, Christ died for us. There's your greatest love, that we might be reconciled and become his friends. And so, in communion today, we're going to sing, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. I read this week a little report, and in this report, it noted some of the strange, terrible headlines across America. These are news headlines or news clips from newspapers across America, noting some of the strange, terrible, sad things that happen in our country, how foolish and evil our country is. And I want to read a couple of these. This is the world, the meanness of the world. From Pennsylvania, Easton, Pennsylvania, a 23-year-old Great Meadows, New Jersey man was charged with aggravated assault after allegedly slashing his friend's face with a knife during an argument over which one had the hairier back. Here's another headline in America. Associated Press headline, man shoots friend in argument over the height of late soul singer James Brown. Now that's worth arguing about and shooting your friend over. The evil of mankind. From Illinois, Daily Herald. Pamela Majdan was arrested and charged with beating up her sister. Police say they argued over which sister caught the most candy tossed at their town's holiday parade. What a great country we live in. God bless America, huh? The meanness, the evil, the terribleness, the foolishness, the stupidity of our world. Those are the headlines that are out there. You hear about it all the time. I don't have to read anymore. But dear friends, don't be afraid. Because there's a greater headline. There's a headline from heaven today. There's a news flash from heaven today. It's been around 2,000 years and longer. The real headline of headlines is that Jesus died for sinners. That's the headline. Jesus forgives sinners. No matter how bad they are, who they stab, who they kill, Jesus forgives. He forgives and he forgives. Jesus laid down his life and all that he has for his enemies. That's the headline of headlines. Believe it. He forgives you your sins. He loves you. He has saved you. He's redeemed you. He has reconciled you to the Father. Believe it and rejoice in it. For that is the headline of heaven that'll never make it into the newspaper. But we shout it from the mountaintops and we shout it here in church. Jesus died for sinners. Say it with me. Jesus died for sinners. In this mean, crazy world, there is a great love to lay down your possessions for your friends. Do it. As God's given you everything. A greater love to lay down your life for your friend, Jesus, or for whoever else he calls you to lay down your life for. Do it. Because he's laid down his life for you. But then there's the greatest love at the cross. Jesus laid down his life and all that he has for his enemies. That we might eternally be his friends. Praise be to God for his great love. May it fill our hearts. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We rise to sing.